Welcome to the Israel Daily News Podcast. I'm your host, Shanna Fold, and I'm here to get you caught up quickly. I've got some top news stories for you today from Israel, and guess what? You're listening, so you're already on top of your game. Survive and thrive, people. Knowledge is the best weapon. Today is Monday, May 25th. 2026 in the Gregorian calendar, and the 9th of Sivan, 5786 in the Hebrew calendar. Now, let's get to the news. The United States of America and Iran seem to be reaching a peace agreement, just not today. Following up on the framework that had been established by President Trump beginning on April 7th, U.S. officials claim that an agreement to continue the ceasefire is imminent, and it's going to roll out in the next few days. This framework includes solutions to crucial aspects of the conflict, like reopening the Strait of Hormuz and allowing Iran to resume its oil exports. That's according to what American officials said on Sunday. Most notably, the deal pushes the issue of Iran's nuclear program off to future talks, leaving the trickiest part of this equation unresolved. An initial two-week ceasefire was agreed to on April 8th, which was helped to be brokered by Pakistan after 40 days of U.S. and Israeli airstrikes on Iranian military and nuclear sites and airstrikes on us here in Israel and, by the way, other sites throughout the region, including in the UAE. Currently, it is Iran's government that seems to be moving slowly, while President Trump is, he says that he's not in a rush, but instead he's working to make a comprehensive and binding agreement. Israel and members of Congress continue to give warnings in the sense that this framework could leave Iran's nuclear capabilities largely intact. Another reason why all of the logistics to this agreement are being so heavily thought through. In the meantime, there is peace and calm, and fighting is on pause. So some people here in Israel are taking a breath. U.S. President Trump took to his social media outlet Truth Social on Monday, so that's today, to note that part of these plans and agreements should include a number of countries that would sign on to the Abraham Accords, which is a document that creates normalization between Arab countries and Israel. Currently, Israel has peace with the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, Morocco, Sudan, and Kazakhstan. Trump is now requesting that Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Turkey, and Pakistan sign on to the deal, noting that these countries are warm on the idea and have been already exposed to the document. He said, quote, "They would be honored as soon as our document is signed to have the Islamic Republic of Iran as part of the Abraham Accords." That's according to Trump. "Wow, now that would be something special," he remarked. The Jerusalem Post reports that Trump said negotiations are proceeding nicely with Iran and also says that the United States would either achieve a great deal or no deal, in which case the U.S. would need to head back into the battlefront and shooting, but bigger and stronger than ever before. That's what Donald Trump said, president of the United States. So what we understand is that no war is imminent. A lot of people here in Israel were expecting that Israel would re-engage in fighting with Iran. People were speculating it was going to happen over the weekend. People were speculating it was going to happen as soon as Donald Trump returned home from China. That is not the case. An Israeli soldier was killed on Friday by a drone near the Lebanese border. The soldier was identified as 23-year-old Staff Sergeant Noam Hamburger from Atlit, a city near Haifa in Israel's north. He was a technology and maintenance soldier in the 401st Brigade. Another soldier was seriously wounded, and a non-commissioned officer was likely hurt in the same incident. Both were evacuated to a hospital for treatment. Roughly 25 minutes later, a second explosive drone fell in the same area of northern Israel, but no one was injured in that one. Hamburger is the 9th IDF soldier to be killed in southern Lebanon after the unstable ceasefire between Israel and Hezbollah started last month. He is the 22nd soldier to be killed since fighting between Israel and Hezbollah resumed following the launch of Operation Roaring Lion, which began on February 28th of this year, 2026, when Israel and Iran began fighting most recently. So too did fighting resume with Hezbollah in Lebanon. We here at the Israel Daily News send our heartfelt condolences to the family, friends, and community of this young man. The last survivor of the 1929 Hebron, or Hebron massacre, if you say it in English, has died at the age of 100 years old. This story hits a sore spot for me because it is just so sensitive and relevant to Jewish history and particularly the Arab-Israeli conflict at large. Now I'm going to tell you the story of the 1929 Hebron massacre. In August 1929, Arab rioters led a planned massacre against the Jewish community in Hebron, which continuously survived for more than 2,500 years. Jewish continuity for more than 2,500 years in the West Bank, known as Judea and Samaria, despite a lot of danger and turmoil happened all throughout those 2,500 years, Jews remained there. And despite during Mamluk rule for 700 years, Jews were only allowed to ascend to the seventh step outside of this holy building. Mind you, this is the building housing the forefathers of our forefathers, the Jewish forefathers, including Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob and Leah. Jews were forbidden from entering the sanctuary itself. Despite these are our descendants before they were ever considered any other faith's forefathers or foremothers. And if a Jew tried to go inside or ascend past the seventh step of the building, they would be heavily punished, if not killed, under the Mamluks. Now let's fast forward to 1929, before the state of Israel ever existed. The city of Hebron had 800 Jewish residents. One day, their Muslim neighbors rise up and murder 67 Jews in their homes and in the streets. Yes, they were murdered by their neighbors. Dozens were injured. Many of the survivors were evacuated from the city at this point, but some have returned to Hebron. And there are a few who remained even throughout that time of turmoil. There has been a continuous Jewish presence in the West Bank city of Hebron. It was never used to be called the West Bank. That's a modern term. In Hebron, there have been Jews there throughout the whole time. So anyone who wants to say that Jews are not indigenous to this land, anyone who wants to say that the Jews came back, Jews have always been here. And we can talk about this man, Yitzhak Ben Hebron is his name, who passed away at the age of 100. Ben means son. So his name, like many Jews with the name Ben or Bat, it means son of or daughter of. So in this case, it is son of Hebron. For the place, Hebron, the son of Hebron. During the attack, Yitzhak and his family found an escape route through the window of the Avraham Avinu synagogue and managed to escape the rioters who attacked the neighborhood. Now, I've been to this place, I've been to this synagogue, and I've spoken personally with families who have had homes, property, and lived in Hebron for hundreds of years. I met a young man in my age category here in Tel Aviv who comes from Hebron. His family has been in Hebron for hundreds of years. Before the establishment of the modern state of Israel, Yitzhak Ben Hebron served as a policeman in the Hebrew settlements police, protecting settlements and taking part in active Israeli campaigns. After the Six-Day War, Yitzhak Ben Hebron was among the first Israelis to return to repopulate a Jewish presence in Hebron after almost the entire community left. His son, Amishav, was one of the first Jewish children born in Hebron after the Six-Day War in 1967, in which a lot of Jewish families who had been exiled, pushed out, left in terror and fear, returned. In recent years, he had been living in Ashkelon with his family. Over the years, he made sure to preserve the memory and share the stories of the destroyed Jewish community of Hebron. The death of Yitzhak Ben Hebron marks the closure of direct testimony of survivors of the Hebron massacre. Now, why did I say that this story is important to the Arab-Israeli conflict? Because what happened was a classic trope that affected us on October 7th. The religious leaders in 1929 told their congregations a lie, which was that the Jews were storming the Temple Mount and about to take over the Al-Aqsa Mosque. That was not the case. That was not the truth. That never happened. However, the Muslim community of Hebron were so antagonized at the idea that the Jews were going to overrun their important third most holy site in Islam, that they turned on their Jewish neighbors, took up knives, kitchen knives, and entered the homes of their Jewish neighbors, their Jewish brothers and sisters, and murdered 67 innocent people. Now, that lie has been told and retold by Muslim leaders time and again throughout history as a way to stoke the flames of hate. And there was concerns about this that were expressed through the October 7th massacre in 2023 as well. There are some incredible stories of Muslim neighbors going to warn their Jewish friends about the impending attack from 1929 in Hebron. But this nightmare is just an example of how people throughout history have used lies and deception to create anarchy. And a lot of the ways that Jews were murdered in 1929 were the same ways that they were murdered and maimed on October 7th. You'd have to read about it, which I have done, but the ways in which the families were broken apart in 1929, made to watch each other be killed, children having to watch their parents be killed, and vice versa. The humiliation, it was very much the same. The 1929 massacre and the October 7th, 2023 massacre have so many similarities. Sit down and read about it. We send our heartfelt condolences to the Ben Hebron family and hope that their legacy continues. He was 4 years old when he survived the attacks, and Yitzhak Ben Hebron died on Thursday at the age of 100. Can't stop, won't stop the Jews. We hope here at the Israel Daily News that we did our little part in keeping the legacy of the Ben Hebron family alive. Monday, I am going to be hosting and emceeing the Jerusalem Post New York City Conference. I'll be running the show back in my little hometown, and we'll be conducting an interview and a panel as well. If this interests you, well, I'll tell you about the panel. I'm going to have an interview with Professor Bader of the Kaplan Medical Center. We're going to be talking about how medicine crosses borders. He's really enthusiastic about that. I spoke with him today. He's going to be talking about how he's brought Israeli medicine throughout the region to really unexpected places. And on our panel, we're going to be talking about anti-Semitism on campus and anti-Semitism in the United States. It's going to be a riveting panel, and I'll be hosting that. If this interests you, I have a post about this on Instagram, and I have a discount code there as well. So if you'd like to get your ticket, please let us know. The Israel Daily News now has its own direct donation platform. After losing dozens of supporters last year during Spotify's takeover of our distribution site, listeners can now contribute monthly once again. Or you can make a one-time donation directly through our website. We don't need to operate under any other platform. A special thanks goes out to loyal supporters like Marianne Vollinger for sticking through the transition. Support helps keep our independent journalism alive and growing. And you can follow us on Israel Daily News social media platforms like Instagram, X, LinkedIn. And you can find us at israeldaily.news or on X, Israel Podcast. We're looking forward to seeing you there. Israeli chess master Yehuda Greenfeld, who is the most successful deaf chess player in the world, won gold at the World Deaf Chess Championships in Spain earlier this month. And by doing so, he secured a spot at the 2027 Deaflympics in Austria. Greenfeld competed alongside hundreds of deaf chess players from 43 countries. Several countries withdrew due to Israel's participation. But that did not stop 70-year-old Yehuda Greenfeld, who has a record that includes multiple European and world championships. His name has become iconic for worldwide chess players who are deaf. Before the tournament, Greenfeld expressed hope, given the current climate, for improving relations between Israel and Spain, where the championship was held. Israeli Deaf Sports Association head Jimmy Hatzbani called him a symbol of willpower, perseverance, and inspiring Israeli representation. Congratulations, Mr. Greenfeld, for winning the gold in honor of Israel at the World Deaf Chess Championships. All right. Well, that is it for today's show. Today is Monday, May 25th, 2026. Tel Aviv has a low of 21 degrees Celsius and a high of 23 degrees. That's 64 degrees Fahrenheit for the low, going up to 76 degrees for the high. We are everywhere. Don't forget to sign up to our Israel Weekly News Wrap. The Israel Weekly News Wrap is a newsletter with the top five stories coming out of Israel from throughout the week. And of course, with a personal note from me at the top. You can sign up for that at israeldailynews.org. Scroll down to the bottom and drop your email address in. A big thank you goes out to our sponsor, Marianne Vollinger, our writer, Perry Schwartz, and our associate producer, Lori May. Have a great and productive day and an excellent week, everyone. Shavua Tov.